Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate on our second reading from James chapter 3 under the theme of taming the tongue. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. To stick your tongue out at someone, in our culture at least, is something of an insult. But in the remote areas of Tibet, where this gentleman comes from, sticking your tongue out sends a very different message. The locals, in fact, will often greet a foreigner or a visitor by sticking out their tongue. It's a sign of peace and a sign of respect to the newcomer. Now, this doesn't give you permission to do it, by the way. But in Tibet, as legend has it, there was once an evil king. And this evil king's soul was so dark and his ways were so corrupt that it actually turned his tongue black, as the legend has it. So the Tibetans will poke out their tongue to show someone that they aren't evil, that they are a welcoming and kind and peace-loving people. What does your tongue say about you? What does your tongue say about you? James says, every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. What does your tongue say about you? What do the words you say about you? This morning, James is talking to us about the tongue. He's talking to us about our words. And he draws out at least three key points about the potential of the tongue, the poison of the tongue, and the healing power of the tongue. So firstly, its potential. Now, James goes to great lengths to try to explain to us or describe to us the incredible potential of the tongue, of our words, both for great good and for great damage. After saying, firstly, that teachers will be judged more strictly, that is, that those who speak publicly and who claim to speak with some authority better have something worth saying, and they better know on whose authority they speak. But James goes on from there to use these three little metaphors, these three little images to get his point across to us. And the first one is a bit in the mouth of the horse. So the bit is the little metal part that connects the reins and goes into the horse's mouth. It's usually not even seen. It's not even visible. But it's how the rider communicates with the horse. It's how the rider steers, slows up, speeds up the horse. It's a very significant little piece of equipment, and it has a big impact. But as you can see, you can barely see it. Right? It's small and it's often invisible. The second metaphor that James uses is that of a rudder. And again here, the picture is of something large, something significant, something important, something that carries cargo and something that's very useful, being steered and directed by something very small and almost under the surface, the rudder. So you see the size of the ship and you see the importance of what the ship's doing, but what you don't see always is how that ship is directed and guided. That's the rudder. Now, the third metaphor James uses is that of a spark. And this one's pretty close to home here in the Adelaide Hills. The spark that can start a great fire. Now, the shift with the third metaphor is that while the first two are explained mainly in terms of their positive potential to move the animal, to move the ship, this one is described mainly in terms of its negative potential. So the destruction that can be caused, the danger that's posed by the threat of that little spark, that little match that we were looking at with the kids this morning. So James is trying to build a picture, and in fact he uses three pictures to build this one picture of the incredible potential of the tongue. Something so small, something unseen, but something that can have a great big impact. Words create realities. And that's why they're so important. If you look at God's words in Genesis, in the process of creation, words create realities. If you look at Jesus' words of forgiveness and healing in the lives of people, his words create realities. And if you think about our words, the way we use words, a marriage vow or a witness statement, some kind of public declaration, an umpire's ruling, right? Whether or not you agree with it, okay? Those words are powerful words. They create realities. They do what they say they do. God's words then deliver his promises, his gifts, his realities into our lives. Now, unfortunately, not all words, although they have great potential, although they're very powerful, create positive realities. Some of them, James says, are downright poisonous. Right? This is how he describes the tongue at one point, and this is a good reason why we must be careful not to swallow every word that is said to us or about us, because James said it can be like this, it can be poison. Now, you might have picked up through the reading that James isn't altogether positive about the tongue, right? About words that are spoken, and it kind of makes me think, I wonder what sort of words he was hearing. I wonder what people he was listening to, and I wonder what sorts of things they were speaking about. He calls it a fire. He calls it a restless evil. He calls it a deadly poison. And that's just the start of it as well, right? He has all these words that he just piles up to try to explain the potential danger of the tongue, the danger of our words. So, what direction then are our words, if they're negative, if they have unhelpful potential, what kinds of words are like that? I think there's probably two categories. There's words that are untruthful, and there's words that are unloving. So words can mislead, words can misjudge, words can just tell lies. And on the other hand, words can be unloving in that they might be the truth, but they're not necessarily the kind truth, or they're not kind words. So they can inflict harm, they can inflict hurt, they can do great damage. People say that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But anyone who's been hurt by words knows that that's not true. And if you read the Bible, you know that's not true, because words are very powerful. And words can go where sticks and stones can't go. Right? Words can get right down inside us, like the poison can get right down inside us and get into the bloodstream. And then you've got a problem. Right? Words sink down deep into us, into our hearts, into our minds, into our self-conscious, into our self-regard, into our self-respect. Right? So words are so powerful for that reason. I think that's why James says the tongue's like a poison, because it can have that sort of impact on people's lives. Now, where on earth am I? Ah, there we go. Okay, so examples of hurtful words, and you would have your own examples, but if you've ever heard someone say, I hate you, and mean it, right? You've heard the poison of words. If you've ever said something like that yourself, you've experienced the poison of words. If you've ever watched a movie with such bad language that it just makes your skin crawl, right? You've heard the poison of words. If you've heard gossip or spread gossip, now I know good Lutherans don't gossip, right? But maybe you've heard it, maybe you've been part of it. This is the poison of words. Why? Because it poisons people's reputations, right? It's so damaging to people's good names. And the point is not whether or not they deserve it, right? The point is that we're called to something better. We're called to not be part of it. That's the eighth commandment that calls us to that. So how we use our words, we can break down or we can build up. We can discourage or we can encourage. If you think of some of the modern ways we use our words, right, online and on social media and this sort of thing, I think the potential just goes up a notch, really, both in terms of the good that can be done, but often in terms of the poison that can be done, right? Because there's anonymity and there's less accountability and there's all these things that just create a space for words to be poisonous, be very dangerous for people and for their lives. Words sink down into us. They go so deep, and that's why they're so powerful, but also can be so problematic. James says, with the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. This ought not to be so. All right, so how do we respond to the potential and to the potential poison of words? How do we respond to all that? Should we all just take a vow of silence? Never speak again? Might be fun to try. I don't think most of us would last very long. All right? Makes me think, you ever see the Seinfeld episode where Kramer tries to take a vow of silence? Lasts about 7 seconds. All right? I think most of us would be similar. It's speaking's important, and most of us enjoy it. But we need to think about how we do that, how we tame the tongue. James says we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. In other words, we all say the wrong thing. We all get it wrong. We all use our tongues wrongly at times. We all need to think about this and where we can go for help with this. Once we recognize that we all stumble in many ways, that we're all impacted by this potential poison, then we can start to seek the antidote, the medicine, the help. And interestingly, it's our very words that can help us do that. This is like the rudder on the ship changing our direction, right? When we change the direction of our words and we direct them back to God, Lord, have mercy on me, right? Lord, forgive me. Lord, direct me, lead me, speak to me so that I may speak to others. Then we start to see the healing power of words. The Word of God in Scripture shows us the positive power, the healing power of words, first to us and then through us to those around us. If you heard in the Gospel reading today, Peter uses his words to confess Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. And if you read the other versions, Jesus then uses his words to bless Peter. Words are powerful. Words have that power. We can speak words of confession, and God speaks words of forgiveness. The moment we speak words of repentance, God speaks words of grace, words of healing, words of hope. It's said in that reading from Isaiah that Isaiah had a well-instructed tongue, and with it he could sustain the weary with a word. This is the power of God's word, to sustain the weary. And there's a lot of weary people out there, and I'm sure we ourselves are weary at times. And we're weary because sometimes of the words spoken to us, the words we've spoken to others, it wearies us, it weighs us down. And Isaiah says, but there is a word that comes from the outside into you that can bless you and can help you and can heal you and can sustain you in your weariness. And this is the word of God for you. This is the bit that you can put into your mouth to help direct you, lead you, guide you. This is the rudder on your ship that can show you the right way to go. This is the little spark in your life, the spark of the Holy Spirit that can set you on fire, you know, and can be the word of faith and love and joy and peace that the world around us so desperately needs. God has this word that can sustain the weary, and it is a word we need to hear and a word we need to speak to others as well. This is a word that can sink down into our hearts, take root in our souls, can be near our lips and on the tip of our tongues when we go out into this world. A world that is weary and a world that needs better words spoken to it than it often hears. We need to know that there is a God who knows what to say even when we don't. We need to know that there is a God who says kinder things about us than we would ever say about ourselves. We need to know that there is a God who says, my word is a light to your path, a lamp to your feet. It can guide and direct you through your life. This is God's word. This is God speaking to us. So the next time you poke out your tongue, either proverbially or properly, if you do that from time to time, think about what your tongue says about you, and then allow it instead to say something about him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of words, the gift of our tongues, and we know they have great potential, potential for good and potential for bad. Lord, forgive us when we have used that potential to head in the wrong direction, Turn us back to you. Turn us back to your word. Help us to listen to it, to hear it, to allow it to sink down deep into our souls so that we may go out to speak that same word into the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.